Obviously, I am not privy to all the lunch and dinner conversations that go on each Lord's Day after church. I'm still working on getting more Alexas and Googles into homes, and because I sure like that pastor app that came out recently. But I suspect there were some interesting discussions last week concerning the sermon addressed to the wives. I didn't know if I would have a congregation full of women this morning and no men. I would like to provide you, though, with some more conversation material. This time, however, we are going to address the husbands, as Paul's Colossians text goes right into that. And guys, if for some reason I had to choose between the two sermons, that is, if I was given the opportunity to preach just one of them, and to do so based upon who needed to hear the message the most, there is no question, none at all, that I would preach to you. Where many of our ladies just need reminders from time to time regarding their biblical responsibilities, many of us men need a more direct reminder, say a 2x4 across the chops. Last week's text had some hard words for us. Hard words from the Apostle Paul, who spoke candidly about the marriage relationship. This week's words, I suspect, will be hard too. But should it be? Should it be? How can God's word and his ways be hard, burdensome, difficult, especially when Jesus says that they're the exact opposite, that his words are not burdensome, that they're not wearisome in the least bit? Now, contributing to all of this is the fact that many have never learned, or if learned, have forgotten what marriage is based upon in the first place. And as we heard last time, it is a relationship that is to mirror the relationship that Jesus has with the church. Every marriage is to image forth and model how the church is to submit to Jesus. Every marriage is to image forth and model how much Jesus loves his church. Now, counter to what culture may say, the roles of husbands and wives in marriage are not to be altered or redefined. The reason being, the roles have not been arbitrarily assigned. In fact, they are rooted in the distinctive roles of Jesus and his church and assigned to each gender, which, by the way, there are only two genders. They therefore are not roles bound to first century time, place, or culture. Like the Ten Commandments, marriage roles are actually written in stone, inscribed by the very finger of God. The wife has been given a role to play. Her fundamental responsibility to her husband is the same fundamental responsibility the church has toward Jesus, a relationship characterized by submission and respect. Christian wife, that is your role. Show the world what that looks like. Show the world how the church is to submit to Jesus. The husband has been given a role to play. His fundamental responsibility to his wife is the same fundamental way that Jesus loves the church, a relationship characterized by loving the church even unto death. Christian husband, that is your role. Show the world how much Jesus loves the church. What a responsibility both genders have. Who can live up to this kind of submitting and this kind of loving? And as I reminded you last week, wives, when you do not submit to and respect your husband, you speak lies to the entire world how the church is to submit and respect Jesus. In other words, you bear false witness against him. Husbands, when you do not love your wife, you speak lies to the entire world how Jesus loves the church. You bear false witness against Jesus. Now, we focus our attention on the husband this morning, and we will see the command given him clearly goes far beyond the trite, be nice to your wife, take her on dates once in a while, put the toilet seat down. Here is the command given husbands, love your wife as Jesus loved the church. And that kind of love cost him his life. That kind of love put him right in the middle of God's poured out wrath. There's nothing sappy or sentimental about the kind of love that we are talking about this morning. No, not at all. Gird up your loins, men. God's word is before you. Time to be a real man. That would be a godly one. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the text before us. Though we direct one particular segment of this body, Father, there is much here for all of us. And we pray in Jesus' name that you would make that abundantly clear as you move and work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Colossians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul has now moved into our homes. He's been speaking about how we are to love each other in the church, and now he's been talking very directly to us in regards to our love for one another, how we are to treat each other, I should say, in our homes. I'm going to read, though our text for the morning is verse 19, I'm going to back up to 18, and I'm going to read through 21. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, our text for the morning comes from Colossians 3, but I will be referring to Ephesians 5, 25 to 33, and that's why Greg read that particular text this morning for us. The reason is because it is a parallel text. It is a text that is speaking about the same subject, but it does so with more specifics, just like we learned last time when we were looking at the responsibility of the wife. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The Colossians text makes a statement. The Ephesians text makes that same statement and then adds helpful, Holy Spirit-inspired commentary. And we will utilize that commentary this morning. When talking to the wives, the apostle says they are to submit to their husbands because, Ephesians 5:23, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Now, last week, for the benefit of the wives, we spent some time with this verse. This week now, we will do so for the benefit of the husbands. And I want us to see what is declared of you. Whether you acknowledge it or not, husbands, you are the head, a word that literally means leader, authority. You are the head in the marriage relationship. The question is not whether you are the head or not. You are. The question is, will you lead well or will you lead poorly? Let's get more direct. Are you leading well or are you leading poorly? Your headship, your leadership is inescapable. You cannot refuse to lead. You can, however, abdicate your responsibility, but all that means is that you are leading poorly. Now, how are we to lead is stated in Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. In the Ephesians 5:25 text, it said this way, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And once again, no qualifiers here in those statements. No qualifiers for the wife. She is to submit and respect, not when she feels like it or when it's earned. In the same way, the husband is to love without qualifiers either. It is not love her if or love him when. It is simply love her. Now consider this. When you love your wife with qualifiers, you love her conditionally. You love her when she earns or deserves the love. And if you do this, you proclaim Jesus' love for the church is also conditioned with qualifiers. And that's a travesty. That's a lie. For there never has, never will be a greater expression of unconditional, undeserved love given than when Jesus went to that cross, gave his life for his bride, the church. Husbands, are there other lies you're telling concerning Jesus' love for his bride, the church? When you are harsh toward her, when you are harsh toward your wife, you declare that Jesus is harsh toward the church. When you are selfish and do not prioritize her, you declare that Jesus does not prioritize the church. When you lust after another, you declare that Jesus is an adulterer. When you love When you love her, and it's conditioned upon how well she meets your needs, you declare that Jesus does the same, loving us when we love him first. Now, just saying those words should cause us to cringe. And how about another? If you desert your wife, you declare that Jesus deserts his wife, abandons her, the church as well. Do you want to say anything close to any of those things? You see, your marriage to your wife is bigger than me and the wife. It is never about just you and the wife. Your marriage is always on stage, always. It is always on stage for all to see what kind of relationship Jesus has with his bride, the church. What nasty lies may you be telling regarding that relationship, about your Savior? Now, the Ephesians text 25 to 27 describes further that the depth of Jesus' love. First, that he gave himself up for her. He gave up his life. He died for her. And he did so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. How much did he love her? Well, whatever it took to make her holy and blameless. Now, that certainly is a deep and profound kind of love. The Ephesians text continues, verse 28, telling husbands to love their wives as their own bodies. Interesting. In the marriage relationship, most men are more selfish than their wives. Huh? More self-focused? That's why I believe this statement is made to husbands. Guys, you're to love her like you love your own body. Got it? Really is what the apostle is saying. John Piper, husbands should devote the same energy and time and creativity to making their wives happy that they devote naturally to making themselves happy. There's some marriage transformation words right there for husbands. Devote as much time and energy to your wife as you devote to yourself in watching sports, in tinkering in the garage, in gaming, a new one, in hunting, in hanging out with your buddies, and so on. The wife, she's not told to do this. Love your husbands as your own bodies because, well, most already do. Wives generally love their husbands without needing the extra teaching. It's the husband, however, who often needs this basic, forthright command. Now, we commented last week how Paul, when speaking to wives, not only exposed her weakness, a reluctance to submit and respect, but also revealed her husband's need to be respected. Our text for the morning this time exposes the weakness of the man and the need for the woman. Paul does so by commanding the husband to love his wife. The weakness of the man is that can be hard for him. He even forgets, for crying out loud. But the need of the woman is also exposed. She needs to be loved. Colossians 3:19 provides another weakness and another need. Paul says, "Do not be harsh with him." This can be, sadly, a tendency. We can be gruff and harsh with our wives, and we will hear next week, sadly, we men can do the same thing to our kids. Plus, our wife's need is to be cherished. Peter calls her the weaker vessel in 1 Peter 3:7. Not weaker in that we can whip her in arm wrestling, but weaker emotionally. She tends to be more sensitive. There have been times in my own marriage where I have been harsh, saying something that was unnecessary or mean. And I can remember looking over at Lynn through, though a strong woman, her head bowed from that particular interaction. And I remember feeling like an absolute fool for saying such to her. Husbands, do not be harsh with your wives. Now some application here. Guys, I'm not going to give you a list of how to love your wife tasks and chores this morning. There are some books on the topic that give some advice concerning the matter. The warning, however, that I give concerning many of those books is that we live in an age not only where there is an attempt to make women more like men, even more so, I think, we live in an age where there is an attempt to make men more like women. What is the phrase? Men need to get in touch with their feminine side. No. No. Men do not need to do any such thing. We need to get more in touch with our masculine side, which means acting like men of God. Men, how are you to love your wives? Well, in short, the text is very straightforward. Once again, love her like Jesus loved the church. There's nothing feminine that went on at the cross. That was a very masculine kind of love that went on there. But for us to do that, and for you to do that, you must know how he did that, how he loved. And that answer, found in your Bible. It is why that central to being a good husband and a good wife is being a good Christian. And I use that phrase, good Christian, to mean one who is serious about his or her faith. Here's your marriage book as you look at your Bible, husband. Here's your marriage book, wife, as you look at yours. You learn about Jesus, you learn about the church, you learn about the relationship those two have in that book. And as you do, you learn what it means to be a godly husband and a godly wife. But husbands often need things spelled out, huh? Right? So let's talk about a couple of ways that we can better love our wives, as I also preach to myself here. C.S. Lewis, who married later in life, made an interesting observation concerning men and their understanding of what it means to love. Lewis commented that women, I'm quoting him, women tend to think of love as taking trouble for or from others. And by the way, that's a pretty good biblical definition of love. While men, he writes, tend to think of love as not giving trouble to others or not making trouble for others. So the wife tends to thinking, I'm going to try and take trouble away. The husband says, well, my job in this is not to give you trouble, and by doing so, I'm loving her. Well, Lewis is very insightful here. Wives often look for ways to make their husband's life better or less troubled. And I'm going to use my wife real quickly as an example here. Many, many times, in fact, it happened just a few days ago when she knows I have a full week, a busy week. She will look at me and she says, and she uses this phrase, what can I take off your plate? Goodness gracious. Well, let me unload a few. And she wants to hear that. She wants to receive it. She asks me the question, and I think that's a great example of what's going on here with Lewis, taking trouble away. That's a way of love. However, husbands believe they are loving their wives when they are not causing any problems for her. After all, how can sitting in front of the television watching Fox News every night be causing her problems? Why is she so mad? What am I doing? What am I doing to her? I'm just sitting here zoning out. I don't even have my feet on the coffee table. What more could a woman want from a man? Shall we count the ways? Ephesians 5, 26 and 27 again also speaks of the results of Jesus' love for the church, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In other words, Jesus' love for the church accomplished something. He poured his love out upon his bride, the church, a church full of people that was anything but clean and holy. And when he did, guess what? Stains, wrinkles, blemishes go away. And one day, at the end of that sanctification process for us, we will stand there holy without blemish, or as other versions translate it, holy and blameless. Husband, question, is your love for your wife having those kinds of results? Is your wife radiant this morning because of your love for her? A woman that is loved looks like it. A woman that is not looks like it too. The bulb is burnt out in too many of our wives, and it's not because they're getting older. It's because they are not cherished. They're haggard, beat up, run down. They are weary and they look like it, and we're not just talking again about physical appearance here. their countenance has dimmed and has dimmed on your watch. What kind of vision do you have for your wife? What are your hopes for her? Have you ever even considered those two questions? Bringing a paycheck home is your responsibility. Putting food on the table is your responsibility. But a paycheck and a two-week vacation for her and the kids every year at the beach is not going to make her holy. You see, we're talking about a kind of love that is bigger, much bigger than remembering her birthday, doing the dishes twice a week, taking the garbage out to the street, though some wives probably would say, I'll take that. But Jesus has a much more wondrous understanding, vision, direction that we are to have in regards to our love for our spouse. It is a nurturing and cherishing kind of love that a wife needs, and she does not have to earn it to receive it. Did you earn Jesus' love? Are you kidding? How could you have? You even hated God. He loved you when you were at war with him. Indeed, we love him because he first loved us, says John in his letter, 1 John 4. Husbands, I promise you this. If you make even a baby step move toward loving your wife the way Jesus loved the church, your wife will blossom. She will blossom like you would not believe. You will watch her get more beautiful. You will watch her get more radiant. You will watch her get more content before your very eyes. And those around you will be wondering how a ditz like you got a babe like her. Really. Love begets loveliness. Love begets loveliness. It does. A woman that is loved will blossom and flourish. And husband, you will not begin to deserve the relational reciprocation that you receive. And wife, allow me to offer this. Let your husband love you as a man. What do I mean by that? Let your husband love you though he's clumsy at it, and though he's awkward at it, and though he has two thumbs in regards to expressing it. Let him do so. Testosterone runs in his blood, not progesterone, and that is a very good thing. So stop trying to make him love you womanly. He's a man. Let him love you as such. And wives, please be aware. Feminine expectations govern what supposedly is a good marriage these days. It really does. There's this image captured, and I read this years ago, and I liked it. I remembered it from Doug Wilson in his Reforming Marriage book, where a good marriage these days, he wrote, is supposedly a husband and wife every night on the couch, gazing into one another's eyes until the screen fades to black. Well, that's the definition of a romanticized, feminized version of marriage, is it not? No, we're not oriented, though, to one another. We are, I should say, oriented to one another differently. The husband needs a wife who joins his world to be his helpmate, and he needs to be respected by her. Last week's text, the wife needs a husband who recognizes that he needs her to take dominion and be fruitful, and she needs to be loved by him. This is the biblical norm. This is the biblical standard for what constitutes a good Christian marriage. Husbands, most of us need to get off our backside. John Piper, you should feel the greater responsibility to take the lead in the things of the Spirit. You should lead the family in a life of prayer, in the study of God's Word, and in worship. You should lead out in giving the family a vision of its meaning and mission. You should take the lead in shaping the moral fabric of the home and in governing its happy peace. He continues, I have yet to meet a woman who chafes under such Christ-like leadership. But I know many wives who are unhappy because their husbands have abdicated their God-ordained leadership and have no moral vision, no spiritual conception of what a family is for, and therefore no desire to lead anyone anywhere. End quote. And I may as well hit you with this one. If you are a spiritual bum in your home. Guess what? You have a daughter or two? She's going to marry, good chance, another spiritual bum just like you. If that doesn't get you off the couch, I'm not sure what will. In marriage, the role of husband and wife are not the same. The husband is to take his special cues from Jesus and how he loved the church. Husbands, that is how. That's how you're to love your wives. The wife is to take her special cues from the church and her submission to Jesus. Wives, that is how you are to submit and respect your husband. Husbands and wives, what are you saying to your children regarding the relationship Jesus has with the church? What are you saying to the world? Are you speaking and proclaiming truth, or are you speaking a bunch of lies? If you're spreading lies, it's time to stop. It's time to confess. It's time to repent. It's time to get about the business of telling the truth. For our marriages are far more than being about us. Our marriages are far, far more about than us being happy and content and fulfilled like some Hallmark card. Husbands, you are to image forth the gospel. You are to image forth Jesus' love for the church. Wives, you are to image forth the gospel. You are to image forth the church's responsibility to submit to Jesus. Husbands, if you have been pasted this morning, if your ears are ringing, they are tingling, please do not walk out of here like a puppy dog, tail between your legs. Instead, man up. Man up. Confess your shortcomings. Resolve now to strive to be a godly husband. Do so for your wife's sake, for your children's sake, and most importantly, for Jesus' sake. We've done enough damage to his name. It's an awesome responsibility, you see. An awesome responsibility that we have, all of us, to image forth this relationship in marriage. By his grace, may we be found faithful, proclaiming truth about that relationship, and not lies that Jesus has. As an aside, this morning as I was preparing further to give this particular sermon, I was thinking about, I wonder if I should have flipped the titles of the last 2 weeks. In other words, last week was for the wives, this week for the husbands. Maybe it should have been, and the reason I thought this, I should have maybe last week been for the husbands when we preached to the wives, because he's the one who's going to reap some of the benefits, right? And likewise, this morning, instead of for the husbands, it should be for the wife, because she's going to reap the benefits of being loved as such. And then I thought about that a little bit further, and I said, no, I think we gave the right titles here. And the reason why is not only are others going to be blessed when we as men and women, as husbands and wives, act like we're told here to do and to be and so forth, not only are those around us going to be blessed, but you know what? You are. When you walk in the will of God, you are so blessed. And so last week, it was really for you, wives. And this week, it really is for us, guys. Let's love as Jesus loved. Let's do so. And you will taste a blessing, fellas, a blessing from God, a blessing in your relationship. I did not give you a truckload of responsibility this morning to dump on you. I gave you some responsibilities that God has given you. And when you fulfill those, blessings galore for your relationship, your marriage, your kids, this church. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this text. Once again, we acknowledge how counterculture this entire 30 to 35 minutes was. This is mocked at. This is ridiculed. It is laughed. It is a Neanderthal kinds of words, supposedly, that was just given behind this pulpit. Not at all. God's word, straightforward, straight from the spigot, one verse, one sentence, and blessings galore. Father, we pray that we would believe you, not culture. Father, that we would believe you and not the book or the blog or the rant Father, may we listen. May we be found faithful. And Father, when we are, may we watch you work in such beautiful ways in our marriages, in our homes. In Jesus' name, amen.